winning this golf tournament does not change my identity. My identity is secure, and I cannot emphasize that enough.
Scotty Scheffler there, ladies and gents, a Masters champion once again, now a two-time major winner. Scotty Scheffler, the world number one, has won the 88th Masters tournament here at Augusta National. And there is lots to discuss. So hello and welcome to the final Masters commute of the season, the series, that I don't know. It's the last one of the week. And it is me, Michael McEwen, with you as I have been all week. Thank you very much to everybody who has tuned in. We very much enjoyed your company. And the man who has been here with me throughout, my therapy dog, I guess, Mr. Alex Perry. Hello, good evening.
That is the first time anyone's called me a therapy dog, but I guess good that boy. Kind of is my role.
Yeah, I guess.
How hot is it in here, by the way?
Stifling.
Jesus. Stifling. Let's keep this to 30 minutes max.
A tight 30, yes. So how are you doing? Did you enjoy Masters Sunday? Happy with the winner?
I did enjoy it. Do you know what really, really irritates me? And I don't want to start on a negative, but I am. When you have these majors where someone pulls away like Scotty mm-hmm. did tonight, and social media just fills with, oh, well, this is boring, isn't it? Was hoping for it to be a bit closer, blah, blah, blah. Imagine if Twitter had been a thing when Tiger was in his pomp.
I know.
Like, can you, when Tiger was 15 clear at the US Open, do you reckon people were smashing into their phones going, oh, this is boring, isn't it?
Get over
Go
it.
Go to my bed. Just be, like, we all want, it's like football, isn't it? Like, okay, if you're watching a football match and you're a neutral and it's 5-0, say it's a Champions League final, your team's not there, you're thinking, oh, this one's over. But you're still watching it. It's still an enjoyable game to watch. You're watching the best golfer on the planet by some distance at the moment.
Romping
home mm-hmm. and executing it in the way that he did.
Indeed.
Just enjoy it.
And please don't mention football again today. I'm a little bit wounded. Not in a good headspace to talk about football. So stuff that analogy. So yes, before we get into the hows, the whys, and the wheres, and the whats, let's have a quick recap of the leaderboard. Scotty Scheffler, like I said, your Masters champion, finished on 11 under par, 4 shots clear of Ludvig Åberg on his major championship debut, remember, 7 under par. Tommy Fleetwood. Yeah, bit of a final day charge from Tommy. He had a 69 today to finish on 4 under and a tie for third alongside Max Homa and Colin Morikawa, and then 2 shots further adrift on 2 under. Cam Smith and Bryson DeChambeau. The only other player to finish under par was Xander Schauffele on 1 under. I mean, when you look at it, Alex, what a leaderboard. Once again, the Masters has come up with the goods.
Brilliant leaderboard. I mean, look, I'm not going to disagree. You obviously want it to be a bit closer. Mm-hmm. It's as good as it is to see a player as brilliant as Scotty Scheffler in that kind of form is, mm-hmm. you do want the homers of the world. I mean, look, let's start with Max Homa. That guy is, he's a major player now. You have to say it. Yep. Top 10 at the Open. Fourth here, did you say?
He was tied third here.
Tied third. And obviously that brilliant performance at the Ryder Cup in Rome in between, that guy is now officially on the major scale.
Mm-hmm.
Ludvig Åberg, what do we say about that kid?
What can we say that hasn't been said?
I mean, good grief. I will say something that I haven't said yet, certainly on the podcast. He is ridiculously handsome. What I mean, is this the new Adam Scott? Are we talking?
Maybe.
Is he taking over Adam Scott as golf's poster boy?
Right, okay, calm down. Okay, calm down.
I know you're a big Scott fan.
He's still Adam Scott, all right? He might wear beige, he might be getting on in years, there might be a little bit of salt and pepper in the old hair, but he is still Adam Scott. So, watch your mouth.
Åberg could be, he's probably young enough to be Scott's son, to be fair, isn't he?
Yeah, very possibly. But you're right. I mean, look, Ludvig Åberg, I struggle to find the words to describe what he's done this week. It was his major debut, as we say. Historically, as we all know by now, rookies struggle at Augusta National. It's a course you have to learn. It's a course you have to get familiar with, know the best places to miss, know how to execute shots, be patient. And then hole putts on some just ridiculously difficult marble staircase greens. He did it all. He was utterly, utterly brilliant. And at one point today, I genuinely thought he was going to do it. It was a pretty nip and tuck front nine, not much between the, you know, the top three or four players. Then obviously Colin Morikawa ejected with a couple of double bogeys around about the turn, at which time Scottie Scheffler goes and reels off three back-to-back birdies on the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th, got to 9 under par. He handed one back, obviously straight away on 11, but his disaster on 11 was relative versus that of Åberg, who obviously went in the water, and then Morikawa, who followed him in just a few moments later. So Scottie Scheffler didn't really make that many mistakes at all today, and that is why he's gone away with the green jacket. A completely and utterly worthy winner, Alex.
Well, I mean, as you said, he played 12, 13, 14 in one under. I mean, and that's when the other players unraveled, essentially. That is just... I'm out of words for this guy. I really am. The reason why I thought Homer had finished fourth was because I thought Morikawa... I thought that was a par putt for Morikawa at the end when he got up and down, but it wasn't, was it? It was up and down for bogey, so... Morikawa, actually, look, I mean, we were having lunch today and the girl serving us said, oh, you know, I've been asking everyone today, who do you think is going to win? I said Scheffler, you all called me boring. And she said DeChambeau, and you and the other person we were having lunch with said Morikawa. Mm-hmm. So,
look. I also said Åberg when I was on Sky Sports News earlier today as well. So I was hedging bets somewhat.
There you go.
But I think
everyone in the top five, you're gonna pick a winner, aren't you?
But I also think it was because Scheffler felt like the obvious answer, and the contrarian in me just was maybe wanting a different outcome. And this is something that's come up quite a lot on social media, certainly over the last hour or so, when Scheffler was very clearly going to win the green jacket, when he was going to get the job done. And subsequently, the prevailing feeling, without being unkind, is that he's a boring winner because he plays boring golf and he's expressionless, he's stoic, somewhat robotic, and he's been winning constantly. I mean,
not a criticism, by the way.
Correct. None of these are criticisms, bar a ridiculous putt, or two putts rather, at the Valero Texas Open. He would have won four in a row. Arnold Palmer, Players' Championship, Valero, and now the Masters. And that is the thing about dominance. I was thinking about this. You know, why are people seemingly so upset that Scottie Scheffler has won? You know, not everybody is, clearly, but there's that sense that it's a bit dull. It's because dominance is, by its nature, boring. There's a banality about dominance. Now, people turn around and say it wasn't the case for Tiger. And this is going to further underscore the point I made in my column in the most recent edition of the magazine, that even today, to describe what Scottie Scheffler is doing as Tiger-esque is ridiculous. Tiger's dominance was on a different level.
Yeah, exactly.
Scottie may well get there, but he has to do it for many, many, many more years to come and not let up. Mm-hmm. That is Tiger-esque. Plus, as Lawrence Donegan, the former golf writer for The Guardian, so perfectly and succinctly described this evening, Scottie Scheffler doesn't have the cultural resonance that Tiger Woods did.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
Plus, let's be honest, Tiger gave us fist pumps, Scottie Scheffler doesn't. Again, not a criticism.
He did have a bit of a dance at the end. There was a fist bump going after he had an emotional hug with Ted Scott, his caddy. Ted Scott, who, by the way, now has four Masters wins. Level with Arnold Palmer, one behind Tiger.
Four more than Rory McIlroy.
Four more than everyone else in the field. Four more than the two people sitting in this room.
Yep.
No, I like the contrarian in you, I really do. But it was always going to be Scottie Scheffler. And I'm actually irritated that when I put my traditional £10 bet on the Masters at the start of the week that I went for Brooks Koepka and not Scottie Scheffler, especially as he was 10-1, which is infuriating.
Considering it's quite long.
I'd be 90 quid better off right now if I'd, or 100 quid better off, I suppose.
If you'd listen to yourself.
If I'd listen to myself. But, and we'll get to this later in the week, I did back him in Potter of
Man. Oh, so, right. Okay, that's enough. Not having that, I'll deal with that when I get home.
Just to come back full circle to Morikawa, he his problem was he needed to get out of the blocks fast. He opened with 7 straight pars and then a birdie at 8. And you thought, okay, all right, maybe, you know, Bryce likes to say it more than anyone. The Masters starts on the back 9 on Sunday. And then, of course, he double bogeyed 9, double bogeyed 11. I mean, the double bogey at 9 killed him. The double bogey at 11 buried him.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. Sorry, I'm just tuning out slightly because I can hear the announcement here in the press building that Scottie Scheffler is on his way to the interview room right now. That's how recently we have hit the record button since he held that winning putt. So he will be about 30 metres away from us in just a few minutes' time. The biggest threat today to Scheffler, as we've joked all week, was his wife going into labour, it seems.
Yep.
And obviously, well, I presume she didn't.
Imagine if she'd rocked up on the 18th with the baby in her hands.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Wearing one of those Masters bibs you can buy in the shops. Or what they called the little jumpsuit things.
$15 million Scottie Scheffler so far made this season, Alex. It's April the 14th. He has made over $15 million in the PGA Tour in just 9 starts.
So that means, so let's say if it's 10%, Ted Scott's won $1.5 million. Let me just get the PGA Tour money list up. So Ted Scott, let's assume he's won just over $1.5 million this season. That means he's currently in the top 40 on the PGA Tour money list, above Max Homa, above Tony Finau, above Rory McIlroy, above Keegan Bradley, above Colin Morikawa. That is so good.
Listen, we've had a bunch of questions from you guys already, so we'll try and get through as many of these as we can before we have to finish up. Jay Houston, long-time listener to the pod. Hello, Jay. Thanks for your question. He says, could Scotty threaten double figures of majors? What do you reckon, Alex? He's on 2 now, so...
I don't like these questions because it's so easy to... Like, when Rory McIlroy came bursting out and won 3 and 4, you're thinking... There's no way this guy doesn't get to 12, 13. Maybe he threatens Tiger's levels. It's just new players come along. Things happen. People fall out of form. People get injured. Of course Scottie Scheffler can get to 10. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean he will.
What he has to do to get to, just to get to double figures, to get to 10, is have Tom Watson's career from now.
Yes.
Or to put it another way, he needs to have the career of Seve Ballesteros plus Jordan Spieth.
Yes.
So
also a nice way of putting it.
So listen, double figures doesn't maybe seem like it's that far away, especially when we've become so accustomed to Scheffler doing what he's been doing over the last few months. But you're talking about winning every major and essentially completing the calendar year Grand Slam twice. You know, it's very, very, very hard to win one major. That's why it's been 2 years since Scheffler won his first. So I appreciate the question, Jay. I'm not going to rule it out, but huge ask. Absolutely huge ask.
Huger than huge.
Another loyal listener, Eat and Sleep Golf. Hello there. What's the more impressive accomplishment? Scheffler's dominant win or Ludwig's second place on his debut major appearance?
I'm going to very much sit on the fence and just say, it's nice. Boring. It's just nice to have nice things. Why do we have to compare these two things?
Well, I'll say it. Ludwig.
It's obviously incredibly impressive to come into your first major. I'm also not surprised in any way, shape or form. Like, it's ludicrously impressive and we've been watching him all day and, you know, throwing our head back as putts roll past and fist pumping in the media center when they drop. But none of it is surprising. The kid has had the most ludicrous year of his life. And he's incredibly handsome.
You're getting so stuck on that. Sometimes we forget that we didn't know who this guy was a year ago.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You know, he was in college just a few months ago. He was doing assignments. Then he shows up kind of out of nowhere. Wins in the DP World Tour. Wins in the PGA Tour. Is a standout on his Ryder Cup debut, which nobody was really predicting apart from a tiny little collection of golf sickos. And now here he is, playing in majors, contending in majors. And the funny thing for me is, well, there's two things. One, it looks and feels like he's been doing it forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it didn't at any point this week, watching him, feel like this was his major championship debut. Now, the noise around him on social media and in the commentary and whatnot, you were reminded regularly that that was his first one. We've done that. We've talked about it tons this week. But watching him, just seeing how he went about it, this guy looks like he's figured it out, like he doesn't have anything to learn. It's so impressive.
Right, here you go. Who ends their career with more majors, Ludwig or Rory?
Well, Rory's got a 4-strong head start just now.
Mm-hmm. Ludwig's got but he's also, 12-year head start.
Yeah, exactly. assuming Ludwig stays on the trajectory he's on, stays fit, stays healthy, I would have to say Ludwig. I think at this stage, Rory's maybe got one or two left in him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he came super close to winning the US Open last year. Yep. We seem to keep forgetting that.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like he hasn't contended in a major for 10 years.
But he's only contended in a couple of majors for 10 years.
Also true.
So,
but there's no reason why he can't contend in 2, 3, 4, 5 more in the next 4 or 5 years.
And out of those, he might knock off 2.
Exactly.
So if he gets to 6, it's a pretty high bar, to be fair. That's Nick Faldo's career. But you know what? Why not? I see no weakness, really, in Åberg's game. Yeah, I mean, I suppose his wedge play probably isn't up to the same standard as the rest of his game, but that's only because he's superlative off the tee. His putting stroke is rock steady. My big hope for him, my number one hope, is that he doesn't do a Victor Hovland and countless others
just
and change his game.
To say that.
You know, he doesn't need to reinvent anything, as far as I can tell, anyway. So I would like to think that he's going to knock off tons of them. I think we've got a legitimate superstar. I think, I hate the term, but I think we've got a generational talent.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't hate that term. You use it all the time.
Do I?
It's okay. It's all right.
I only use it
talking
about Ludwig
and you. It's okay to be a generational
talent. Right, listen, got to go to the break. We'll just pick it up straight after this.
The Bunker Podcast is brought to you by the new Paradigm AI Smoke Driver from Callaway.
The new AI Smoke Driver from Callaway has multiple sweet spots across the entire face.
Intelligently mapped by AI using real swing data, making AI Smoke an average of 7 yards longer. You won't be just longer from one spot, you'll be sweeter from every spot.
The new AI Smoke Drivers from Callaway.
Hello, welcome back. Part 2 of today's Masters Commute. Michael and Alex with you for the final time this week at Augusta National Golf Club. We're sitting in the press building and in the last, I want to say 40 minutes, Scottie Scheffler has won his second green jacket. We were talking just before the break about Ludwig and the potential that he's got. We Film Golf. Craig Martin has been in touch with us. Craig sent us a great question earlier this week, and he's done it again. Why can't more golfers be like Ludwig Åberg? You know, happy to be where they are, doing what they do, and also playing nice and quickly.
There was a lovely moment when Åberg walked off of one of the greens to the next tee, and he was walking through the crowds, and he had I think it was a bit of chocolate in his hand. And he was just sort of holding his hand out so the kids could slap the back of his hand reverse high five, so to speak. And one kid went in too hard and knocked his chocolate out of his hand. And Åberg turned around, he looked at his little bit of food on the floor, and then he just pouted his lip out. And it was just such a nice
and
moment.
And just laughed it off.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that. I mean, obviously he's not going to turn around and punch a kid in the face, but it was just...
John Ramwood.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Why? Right, I needed that. That's my food. That gives me energy.
My paella. That's Italian again. Why can't I do a Scottish accent? Spanish accent. Why can't I do it?
Where was the Italian accent for the Ryder Cup commutes? Jesus.
I didn't want to offend anyone.
Åberg getting the stuff knocked out his hand. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just brilliant to see him like that. That's what we want to see from our golfers, isn't it? We want to see them having fun. We want to see them playing with a smile on their face. On their handsome face. next question. Come on.
Yeah, let's keep them going.
Let's go. Keep rolling.
Phil M says, maybe controversial.
Uh-oh. Phil Mickelson.
Probably. If it is, it's definitely controversial. But was the back nine a bit of a damp squib with Scheffler being so dominant and the others falling behind at Amen Corner? I mean, we kind of covered that.
Yeah, I think we've answered that question, haven't we? It was, yeah.
It depends what you define as a damp squib. Do you enjoy watching a guy who's the best player in the world right now playing the way he played and just almost flawless golf, or do you want to see it close and bunched and mistakes? I mean, you kind of got both, so I think it was quite a good back nine. I wouldn't say it was It wasn't blood and thunder and snorters like I think we were maybe expecting at the start of the day when the leaderboard was so bunched.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure it'll be one that people will remember and talk about for years to come because there wasn't any back and forth and so on. But doesn't mean it was a bad back nine. I thought it was perfectly good. At David Baston 12, he's just called himself David.
The 12th Dave of the noble Baston.
How are there 11 other David Bastons?
Exactly.
How's that? David asks, at what age will Ludwig break the European Majors 1 record? Now, I believe that's Faldo, isn't it? With 6.
Yeah, it must be.
Ludwig is currently, let me get this right. He is currently 24. So to get to 7, because the question was at what age will he break it?
Okay.
So he has to get to 7. I'm going to say 38.
We forgot Mr. Harry Vardon, who has 7.
7. Crap. 8
so it is
then.
8.
So you know what? Sod it. 40. If he's going to do it, it's going to take him a few years. 16 years, one every other year, sort of Scheffler rates. 40 need, feels good.
We need someone to break Phil Mickelson's record, don't we? Maybe it could be Oberg.
That would be so good.
That would be the most satisfying. I mean, we're going to have to wait for a quarter of a century, but it'll be a satisfying wait.
Simo at Simon Ruin. Just S-E-M-O, apparently. If your name's Simon, why are you not calling yourself Simo? Why is it Simo? Anyway, that's for him to worry about. Can Scottie Scheffler win the Grand Slam this year? 1 down, 3 to go.
I think the answer is the same as the question about getting to 10. Yes, of course he can. Will he? Probably not. Almost certainly not. That is such a ludicrous achievement. It's such a ludicrous thing to do.
That's why no one's done it.
And that is why no one's done it. Even when Tiger did it, it was obviously spilled over into the Masters the following year.
Spieth got closest.
Spieth did get close.
But I think it's then the pressure starts to mount because he could win the PGA. And by the way, I would actually say the PGA is in danger because Meredith, his wife, is still a couple of weeks from her due date.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, you know, as sometimes happens with your first one, certainly as we discovered, then they could be late. That's a theory. That's a thing, apparently. So let's say 4 weeks, you might not make the PGA.
There was something very Spieth-y 2014 about Oberg today. Just a random thought that popped into my head.
That's a good random thought, Alex. Do you care to elaborate? Or are we just going to leave that there?
Put Oberg down as your 25 Masters champion. I thought that was pretty obvious, but okay.
Andrew Hunter.
Spelt it out for you.
Scheffler won. Ludwig passed his first major test, but who failed?
Morikawa.
Yeah.
DeChambeau, but he blew it yesterday with his 75.
Homer?
Did Homer blow it, though? I mean, what did he have today? 73, I think?
Yeah.
73 over the weekend.
He got to 7 under and finished on 4. 7 under at the turn, so he's come back in 3 over.
Right. I'm happy. Yep. let's file him under Blewett.
Morikawa's probably the most obvious one, though, isn't it? What do you think happened today for Morikawa? Where did it go wrong where it had gone so right the first 3 days?
Well, I sort of said it before, didn't I? Like, he just had such a slow start. He needed to come out. I mean, parring the second hole is criminal. I know Scheffler did it because he pumped his second into the crowd behind, but Scheffler was a shot or two clear. If you're chasing, you've got to birdie the par fives. It's just, it's non-negotiable. What irritates me is you watch where they hit their second shot from. I know they've moved the tee back and to the left, but you put your tee shot in the middle of that. Everyone hits the middle of that fairway.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just hit the green. How is that? Like, how is the best players in the world not doing that? Drives me mental. It drives me mental. Birdie the par fives. I don't want to get cross. Next question.
Bald bloke in his 40s. That's his name, not mine. What's better, paper clips or staples? It's very simple. Paper clips.
I don't want to entertain this question.
Okay, how about this one from Ian? If Buzz Lightyear didn't think he was a toy, why did he stop moving when there were people around?
That's a really good question, actually. I imagine he just saw the other toys doing it and copied them, maybe. Yeah.
If I saw, basically, Woody,
that's one of my favourite films and you ruined it. Next question.
You seem really grumpy all of a sudden. Did you not want Scotty to win?
He's just ruined Toy Story for me. Wouldn't you be grumpy? I hope someone ruins Ghostbusters now.
Oi! That's enough. Tom Hosey, this was the best major championship since?
Since the Open?
No, better than the Open. The Open was not good.
Oh, I've misunderstood the question. I see what you mean. Okay. Who won? What was last year's US Open?
Wyndham Clark.
Yeah. What was last year's PGA?
It was the Michael Block party won by...
I care about Michael Block.
Yep.
Michael Block won by... How many?
John Rahm last year. That's actually quite a good question. Cam Smith, 150th Open.
That was good though, wasn't it?
It was good.
150th. We all thought Rory was good. I think we're remembering that worse than it actually was in terms of the golf because McIlroy didn't get over the line and Smith played unbelievable golf that day.
Yeah.
Like just worldie.
So I would say this was better than any major in 2023.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Excellent. We're just about out of time, Alex, because we need to do some work before we head home.
What are we going to do for the next 20... Our flight, at the time of recording, this time I'm saying this sentence, our flight is in 26 and a half hours' time. What are we going to do in that 20... Apart from hopefully get at least 8 hours' sleep.
That would be nice.
So what are we going to do with the other...
I think we should go into Atlanta. I think potentially do a stadium tour at Mercedes-Benz.
I'd like to do that. I like a stadium tour.
Yep, like a stadium tour. And that's a very cool stadium.
A stadium tour.
Tour. And yeah... Atlanta.
If anyone listening knows anything good to do in Atlanta,
slide into our DMs.
Slide into all of our DMs.
Sum up your week for me then. How has it been? What's been the standout moment for you?
I've had a brilliant week. I genuinely was a bit concerned coming back for a second time that it wouldn't quite have the same mystique and majesty that it had last year when I came here for the first time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's how you felt the second time you came back, but for me, there's just something about this place. I find myself, and this happens to me at the Open as well, I find myself getting complete and utter random moments, finding myself actually quite emotional. And it's really strange. And there's something about this place, because we talked about it last night. There's the no phone policy, which absolutely should just be in place in all walks of life. Let's just get rid of our phones. Let's just get rid of our phones, guys. But when you're out there on your own, there was one moment today where I was walking from the fifth fairway. I was following Tiger and my man Neil Shipley. And I was walking from the fifth fairway down to this huge slope down to the sixth green. And I was just looking up at the impossibly tall trees. And I just, for about 30 seconds, I just completely lost myself. And I found myself welling up a little bit. I'm not a good person when I'm alone in my own thoughts. I get in my head a lot. And I know you have that as well. Mm-hmm. And there's just something about this place that allows you to lose everything that's troubling you. And I don't want to sound like I didn't want to end on like an emotional moment, but that is how Augusta National and the Masters makes me feel. It's how it's made me feel since I was a kid watching it on TV and now being here. And yes, it's hard. Like both of us have said to each other this week, like, really miss my kids, miss my family, miss being, I feel a bit homesick. Perfectly natural. I know it's really easy for people to say, oh, woe is me, you're away for a few days and you're at the Masters and you're doing a job that millions of people would dream to do. Absolutely. They're bang on. Doesn't mean I don't miss my children. So it is a very emotional experience all around. And for me, I'm gutted it's over, delighted I'm going home and that in whatever it is, 40 hours time, I'm going to be picking my kids up from school and wrapping my arms around them, swinging them all the way home. But I absolutely cannot wait for next year.
Well said. Couldn't agree more. Listen, you're right. I came back here. Second time was 2022. My first time was obviously 2019. I had Tiger win. We then had 2 years of COVID. And coming back in 2022, I wasn't quite sure if it was going to hit the same as it did that first time around. And it does. I mean, the Masters always delivers. Augusta National always delivers. The golf club always delivers. The people here are phenomenal. They treat you so well. And they do everything they can to ensure that everybody who crosses the gates, be they a player, a caddy, one of their family members, a volunteer, a patron, a member of the media, whoever, to ensure that everyone gets the most out of the experience. There's something I'm going to say right now that I really hope everyone takes on board, because you will no doubt have an opinion either formed on first-hand experience or second or third-hand experience that the green jackets are stuffy, that they're awkward, that they're just bad, basically. Nothing could be further from the truth. I've never met a green jacket who has been anything less than helpful, friendly, cordial, just out to deliver the Masters experience that we all want and hope when you're growing up, when you're watching it. You put this thing on a pedestal, and it's so rare in life for something to surpass your expectations these days, because we're a greedy bunch, we're a greedy species. This place does time and time again. This has been my fourth Masters and I've absolutely loved it. I think it's such a privilege to be here. And yeah, look, we talk about the amount of work that we have to do. We talk about the amount of hours that we have to put in. We're not complaining, not for one second. We understand it's such a privilege to get to do this job and to come here, because we know how much you listening would love to do it. So all we can do is assure you that it is every bit as good as you'd expect. Like, genuinely, it really, really is. So, Alex, from me to you, I've had a brilliant time with you this week. This is the first time I've had company, a colleague at the Masters. So thank you for everything. Thank you for the last week. It's been brilliant. Thank you for your contributions on the pod in particular. It's been a lot of fun. And my next and bigger thanks, with respect, is to you for listening. We absolutely love doing this podcast. It's so much fun, and it's brilliant when we get the interactions from you, when we get questions from you, when you send us messages on Twitter, when you even the nasty messages are great. So thank you so much for tuning in over the last week. It's been a lot of fun and I can't wait to do it all again. But like Alex says, I also can't wait to get home to my wife and daughter. So with that said,
and the dog.
And the dog. Yeah, it's funny, I had a little moment earlier on today when I was just missing the dog. Did.
I looked at him and I went, "You're right, mate." He went, "I just really miss my dog." It was very sweet.
Yeah, so no, that'll be good fun. Anyway, look, what else can I say? Scotty Scheffler, worthy champion. Another phenomenal Masters. Another Masters that I'm not going to forget, that you're not going to forget, and hopefully you listening to us right now won't forget either. So with that said, it's time to go. It's time to pack up the bags and head back across the Atlantic. So yeah, thank you to Callaway, obviously, for your continued support. And one more time, sincerely, I do mean it. Thank you very much to you for listening. It's been an absolute blast. So until next time, until later this week, indeed, when we are back in the office with Bryce for the full Masters debrief. For one last time, from Augusta National, thank you very much for listening, and bye-bye for now.